From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. A week from today, August 30th, will mark 1 year since the last U.S. Air Force plane took off from Kabul International Airport. The image of that departure and how it signaled the end of years of U.S. involvement in Afghanistan has been burned into global consciousness, much like the photograph of the last U.S. helicopter leaving Saigon in Vietnam in April 1975 after another long and bloody war. Millions of Afghans, including many who are instrumental in supporting U.S. military operations, remain in a country controlled by the Taliban. But in the year since the U.S. withdrawal, thousands of Afghans have also arrived on American soil and settled across the country, including in Illinois. Today we want to check in to hear how the resettlement process is going. Joining us is Lisa Wilson, Executive Director of the Refugee Center in Champaign-Urbana. Lisa, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Eileen Henderson, Operations Manager of the Afghan Welcome Home Project of Central Illinois. Eileen, welcome to you as well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Brian. Great to be here.
And listeners, if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455 or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Lisa, I want to begin with you. Just can you talk about the work of the Refugee Center right now? What is your organization's primary focus?
Well, our organization's primary focus is the resettlement of immigrants and refugees in East Central Illinois. With regard to the Afghan population, we've resettled about 70 individual Afghans in the area. Resettlement is a long list of responsibilities that we take very seriously, including finding housing, registering Afghans for public benefits, which means food and medical aid, getting the Afghans refugee health screenings and legal screenings to pursue a way to permanently stay in the U.S. after their humanitarian parole period expires, and lots of other everyday activities like taking people to doctor's appointments, dental appointments, and just caring for their well-being.
Is there a community that they come into here, or how does that aspect of their lives work?
Yes, there is. The Refugee Center over the past 8 years has resettled approximately a dozen Afghan families who came through the special immigrant visa process. We have relied a lot on that community right here to assist us as interpreters and caseworkers with the large influx of Afghan evacuees from Kabul.
And Eileen, what about the work of the Afghan Welcome Home Project of Central Illinois? Who has your organization helped to resettle? How has that gone?
Well, we came about as a result of seeing that the official federal government process of resettling refugees was in no way, shape, or form, and still now is unable to really adequately help and support the sudden influx of 75,000 Afghan evacuees that were brought into the United States. And so traditionally, the official resettlement processes for immigrants into the United States are focused and headquartered in the metropolitan areas of the United States, which under regular circumstances works. However, when you have a sudden influx of 75,000 individuals into the country, trying to pack all of those individuals into the major metropolitan areas does not work. There's not enough housing. There's not enough. That was the big thing. There's not enough housing. There's not enough jobs. Most of these individuals, are not have not driven before, even with the public transportation, not ample transportation, et cetera. And so while government infrastructure and bureaucracy can be great, we felt that there is an even greater resource to be found within the people and within the community. And throughout the history of the United States, it's been shown time and time again during those times of great need and crises, it is truly the community and the people where the greatest support and resource can often be found.
Lisa, you mentioned that, what was it, 70 individuals in the past year or so? How does that compare to what you were expecting in the run-up to the American withdrawal?
Well, the fact of the matter is we didn't really know what to expect. We did have communication with our former clients, and we knew that there would be some people that they knew that would seek to come to our area. But like a lot of other resettlement organizations, we really didn't know exactly how many to expect. We certainly gave them an idea of what our capacity was, given the size of the community and the size of our staff. But we were really here to accept any and all who were coming to the Central Illinois area.
And Eileen, can you talk about some of the challenges your clients have faced during the resettlement process beyond just the lack of
Yes.
sort of government support? But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, so thus far, we have helped to resettle 19 individuals here in these Arcola and Arthur area. And currently, 12 of those individuals are still here. The other seven have since relocated onward to other locations. We're still in contact and providing them assistance. The biggest challenge is really is the fact that the federal the and again, this all starts at the federal government level. I mean, they're the ones that control all the immigration into the United States, is that they really did and still continue to fail to expand to cover all the other areas of the United States outside of the immediate metro areas. Now, the federal government has the capability of doing this. There's several situations in which they do it. For example, every 10 years during the census, there's a mass during the census, there's a significant increase in the hiring of census individuals. And so, large scale hiring on the federal level is possible. Also, the Office of Personnel Management. For all of the background investigations that they do for security clearances, et cetera, are carried out by contractors and individuals that work throughout the country, working remotely from home, et cetera. So the infrastructure to hire individuals to provide support, to provide ample support to these immigrants to where they could be relocated into areas which have more opportunities for housing, long-term employment advancement. The federal government certainly has the infrastructure and the history of such capabilities of hiring and employing such individuals to provide the support that's needed. It just has not been done. And so I think the biggest thing is that it's very time-consuming, and people do not realize how much time goes into this. As Lisa mentioned, it's not just the paperwork, but you have to understand that these individuals come from Afghanistan, where you by no means had the bureaucracy and processes, i.e., setting up an electric account for electricity in your apartment. That's been very, very frustrating and very challenging for us. Because here in the United States, everyone assumes that you have a state identification card or a driver's license. However, that is challenging to get a driver's license specifically. Actually, a state ID won't even work to get an Ameren electrical account. And so things like this that we take for granted, where you can just pick up the phone, are things or that are totally new processes, new ideas, which just simply do not exist in the in Afghanistan and in the Afghan culture. And so it's one of the biggest things that has continued to be needed now is just ongoing personal one-on-one mentorship with the individuals. There's a lot more to it, especially giving the such the drastic difference in the culture and the way of living between the Afghanistan and the United States, truly helping them to become self-sufficient citizens here in the United States of America.
Absolutely. And let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Eileen Henderson from the Afghan Welcome Home Project of Central Illinois and Lisa Wilson, director of the Refugee Center in Champaign-Urbana, about resettlement of Afghan refugees. It's been a year since the U.S. withdrawal. Many thousands of Afghans have come to the United States, including many here in Illinois, in central Illinois, as well as other parts of the state. Lisa, we just heard Eileen talking about some of the challenges of, you know, sort of the culture shock. Does it go the other way? Has there been resistance from people in the communities that the refugees have joined?
I have not experienced any resistance whatsoever. In fact, it's been quite the opposite. People in the area have welcomed them with open arms. They really want to know how they can help. It's been very gratifying to me to see our community step up like this. We've had some wonderful partners. The local mosque has been a great partner. Many other local churches too have offered their assistance. The community as a whole has really welcomed them and is trying to find ways to assist them to become self-sufficient.
And Eileen, same experience for you?
Yes, definitely have received a great support and response from the individuals and community organizations. However, I do have to say that one of the things that's been very disheartening is now that there has been the coming about of the Ukrainian refugees, we've had several entities and individuals that have said, well, we're now focusing our efforts to help the Ukrainians refugees. And I mean, I myself have relatives, am of a Ukrainian background, and definitely feel for those individuals. However, the situation in Afghanistan, there's nowhere for the Afghan refugees and nowhere for them to flee within their own country. Unlike Ukraine, you can still flee to the western part of the country. You can easily get, you know, asylum elsewhere within the European countries. And so now with the emergence of the Ukrainian refugees, it's been very disheartening at times. And I also understand, you know, the Ukrainians, yes, most of them are going to be Christian, which is a dominant religion here in the United States. Most of them speak more English than the Afghans do. And so in some ways, it's easier for individuals to maybe relate to Ukrainian refugees. However, you know, these Afghans are in the situation they're in because of a situation created by the United States government. They've only been The last refugees left Fort McCoy in February, and so we picked up our evacuees in January and February, and so they've only been here living in the United States, you know, on their own in an unsupervised manner for 6 months. And so to think that you can suddenly learn, you know, how everything works and how to get by on a day-to-day basis in 6 months is really, unrealistic, very unrealistic. Mm-hmm. That was very disheartening to me, is there seems to the mentality like, okay, they're all taken care of, let's move on to the next thing. No. I would say it's going to take at least another, 6 months to a year for all of them to truly be able to understand the processes and to be able to function unhelped, unsupervised, on a daily basis. It's like everyone wants to kind of move on to the next thing already. That's just unrealistic. I wish it was all rainbows and unicorns, but unfortunately it's not. Sure. There's still a lot of work and a lot of support. And I'm not trying to be negative. That's just being realistic and honest and fair to all of them. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that needs to be noted
briefly,
is that there are still 50,000 more. And this is a very reliable number that has been compiled by the organizations that are still helping to evacuate Afghans evacuees out of Afghanistan. They're just based on SIB applications, et cetera. There are still 50,000 more Afghans that are expected, that are need and deserve to be evacuated out of Afghanistan. And so in that sense, this problem, this situation is by no means resolved or close to being resolved.
Lisa, just 30 seconds or so until we have to wrap this segment, but what is next for your organization?
What is next is that we are continuing to support our clients as they are working in jobs and enrolling kids in school. And we will continue to advocate for an Afghan Adjustment Act, which will give them a more streamlined way to get their legal permanent resident status, which is definitely needed. We will also continue to advocate for the reunification of the families. Right now, it's going to be a very complex process, but we strongly are advocating that the U.S. Customs and Immigration Service and the State Department find a way to reunify these families.
Lisa Wilson is director of the Refugee Center. Eileen Henderson is with Afghan Welcome Home Project of Central Illinois. Thank you both so much for being with us and sharing your work and the status of the people you're working with today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you, Brian. One quick thing I want to add.
I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. More to come today on the 21st Show.